Most of you know that tomorrow I will be starting a three-month sabbatical where I will be taking an extended leave from pastoral ministry in order to rest and reflect and recharge. After serving our church for over 8 years, I felt the need to step away for a period of time with the hope that these 3 months will recharge and renew me for continued ministry at 59th Street into the future. So for my final message before I leave on sabbatical, I wanted to preach about the value of Sabbath rest. And that's my sermon title this morning. I want to share a little bit about my hopes for my sabbatical, both for my own life and also for the life of you all, for our congregation, but also to talk about how the principles we see in a sabbatical also apply to all of us generally, even if the specific application of them might be different for each of us. So the passage I want to look at today is from the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 25, God gives instructions to the people of Israel for when they enter the promised land. And he tells them that every seventh year, they must give the land a rest, where they don't plant or work the land, but instead they let it lie fallow. And so as we look at this passage, I pray that it will give us insight into the concept of a sabbatical, but also more generally, the idea of Sabbath rest. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. The Lord said to Moses at Mount Sinai, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather their crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your male and female servants, and the hired worker and temporary resident who live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten." As we look at this practice that God gives to Israel, of giving the land a year of rest every 7 years, I want to think about three ways that this practice points to what God wants to do in us through Sabbath rest, in my sabbatical and in our lives as a whole. So the first thing that we see in this passage is that Sabbath rest shows us that our ultimate value is not in what we produce. Sabbath rest shows us that our ultimate value is not in what we produce. There's so much in our culture that tells us that our value is in what we produce. A common question that we often ask someone after we meet them is, "What do you do? What is your job? What are you producing?" If someone were to respond to that question by saying, "Well, I am the son of my father and my mother. I am the brother of my siblings. I am the husband of my wife. I am the father of my children," you would probably respond by saying, "Okay, but what do you do?" We so often define ourselves by our work, by what we produce. Now, work is not a bad thing. When God first made the world, he put the first humans in the Garden of Eden and told them to take care of it. He gave them work to do. But our culture has sometimes made work into the thing that gives us ultimate value. In his book, Seculosity, author David Zoll talks about different things in our secular culture that have taken on an almost religious role in people's lives, secular religiosity, or as he coins it, seculosity. And one of the things that he points out that this happens in our culture is with work. He quotes Aaron Callan, who was the chief financial officer of Lehman Brothers back in 2007, right at the time of the financial crisis, who describes her relationship to work like this. She says, "I didn't start out with the goal of devoting all of myself to my job. It crept in over time. First, I spent a half hour on Sunday organizing my email, to-do lists, and calendar to make Monday morning easier. Then I was working a few hours on Sunday. Then all day. My boundaries slipped away until work was all that was left. Inevitably, when I left my job, it devastated me. I couldn't just move on. I did not know how to value who I was versus what I did. What I did was who I was. Without the financial crisis, I may never have been strong enough to step away." Ironically, it was the financial crisis that forced her to stop working, which opened her eyes to how deeply she found her value in her work, in what she was producing. Sometimes it takes a financial crisis or a pandemic to force us to stop and face how much value we put into what we produce. But God actually gave us something that was meant to do this on a more regular basis: the Sabbath. God told Israel to stop their work every seventh day and to devote that day to the Lord. And part of what God was teaching Israel was that their ultimate identity and worth didn't come from their work or productivity. So they could stop one day a week. They could rest and not be productive. And God gave the Sabbath year that we read about in Leviticus 25 as another example of this. He tells them to let the land rest for a full year every 7 years. It says, "Don't sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Just let the land lie fallow." God was teaching them that they could stop working the land for a year and it would be okay. That their value didn't come from producing more and more. As a pastor, I regularly preach on this truth, that our value and identity doesn't come from our work or how much we produce. It doesn't come from anything that we do. It comes from Christ, from his work, from what he has done for us through his death on the cross and resurrection. This is the gospel, and I believe it with all of my being. But if I'm honest, my sinful heart doesn't want to believe it. I want to find my value and identity in my work, because then I can boast about what I have done. I can point to myself for my value. And even as a pastor, I am tempted to turn my work, my ministry, into something that I look to for my identity and value. So a big part of taking this sabbatical is to give me an extended period of time when I am not producing anything. I won't be writing sermons. I won't be teaching Bible studies or leading prayer meetings. I won't be leading our staff or counseling people or doing any of the countless other things that can fall under the role of being a pastor. I will let myself lie fallow for 3 months. And one of the things that I'm hoping to experience more fully during these 3 months is knowing deeply within my soul that God loves me and values me, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm serving him or serving other people, but simply because I am his son. And because Jesus died for me. This is why God gives us a weekly Sabbath to stop, to reflect on what God has done for us, and to recognize that we can stop. We don't need to keep working. It's why it's good for you to take your vacation time that you're allotted from your job to stop working for a period of time. It's why it's okay to retire from your job when the time comes. It's why it's okay to go home when the workday is done, or right now when we're in quarantine, to close the laptop and to spend time with your family and to stop answering work emails or work texts. Your ultimate value doesn't come from what you produce, what kind of job you have, how successful you are at your job, or even whether you have a job or not. Your value comes from Christ and what he has done for you. So you can stop. You can rest. The second thing that we see from this passage is that Sabbath rest allows space for God to work while we wait. Sabbath rest allows space for God to work while we wait. When God told Israel not to cultivate or work the land for a full year, he was asking them to wait. He wanted them to wait and see what the land would produce without their work. In verse 6, it says, "Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you." God tells them that the land will yield food for them. They're not going to starve, but they were to take their hands off of controlling the production of food and to trust that God would provide for their needs. If I'm honest, it is a little bit scary for me to think about taking a full 3 months away from our church and away from pastoral ministry, because so much of my walk with God is intertwined with being a pastor. You know, I wrestle with God and with Scripture each week as I prepare my sermon. Situations of loss and need in our congregation bring me to my knees in prayer. I'm constantly thinking and praying about how our congregation can better proclaim the gospel and how we can better love our neighbors. And so the idea of taking my hands off of all of that for 3 months is a little bit scary to me. Will God still produce fruit in my life if I'm not working as a pastor? And what about our congregation? Will God take care of the members of 59th Street Church while I'm away for 3 months? Will God produce fruit in all of your lives without my pastoral work? And of course, the answer is yes, because God's work doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on my sermons or my prayers or my leadership or my counsel. I believe that this sabbatical will create space for God to work while I wait and while you wait. In fact, I am excited to see what God is going to do during these 3 months, what he's going to do in my life and what he's going to do in your lives. Last Sunday, I preached on a passage from John 16, but I didn't really talk about verse 7 in that chapter. In verse 7, Jesus says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus tells his disciples that it is good if he goes away. Now, if it can even be good for Jesus to go away, then it's probably going to be okay if I go away for 3 months, right? Now, of course, I am nothing compared to Jesus. But the point that Jesus makes here is that although he was going to be physically away from his disciples, he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And guess what? Although I am going to be away for 3 months, the Holy Spirit will be with you and also with me. And I know that he is going to be at work in my life and in your lives. One of the things that I am most looking forward to about this sabbatical is being able to slow down, to listen for God's voice, and to just wait on him. With no deadlines, no sermon that I have to preach, no meeting that I have to lead, to simply wait for God to speak according to his timetable, not according to mine. Now, I don't know exactly what God is going to teach me this summer, but that's the point. This is an opportunity for me to lie fallow and see what fruit God chooses to produce in me apart from my work as a pastor. And the same is true for you. I don't know what fruit God is going to produce in your lives this summer, but I am excited to hear about what God does as other leaders in our church step up in my absence to lead with their gifts and their uniqueness. And as you hear God's word proclaimed by a variety of preachers this summer, and as you spend time listening to God's voice as well. Now, I hope that you'll still want me to preach for you when I come back in September, and that maybe you'll miss me a little bit, but I am confident that God is making space this summer to work in each of us while we wait. And that brings us to the third and final thing that we see in this passage, which is that Sabbath rest empowers us to return to work with new life. Sabbath rest empowers us to return to work with new life. As I said earlier, work isn't a bad thing. God created us to work. In fact, in Ephesians 2:10, we read, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God wants us to do good works, to cultivate, to produce. It's part of how he created us. You know, God didn't tell Israel to let the land lie fallow for 7 years. He wanted them to cultivate it for 6 years and then let it rest for one. God called Israel to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. God doesn't want us to just rest and do nothing all the time, but we need the rest so that our work has a different kind of character. When we return to work after having rested, we return knowing that our value doesn't come from our work. And we return knowing that God has already been at work even while we were resting. And so we return with new life, with new energy, new vision, having rested in God's presence and having been filled by him. I don't know about you, but as I've gotten older, I've begun to appreciate the value of a good nap. Now, it doesn't happen all that often for me, especially with young kids, but there is something about having the time and the space to rest and nap in the middle of the day that gives you this new energy and alertness for the rest of the day. And so I am looking forward to this sabbatical, which will hopefully include some naps. But I am also looking forward to stepping back into ministry after the sabbatical is done. I'm looking forward to having renewed energy and passion for preaching God's word to you. I'm looking forward to having time this summer to reflect on the past 8 years, to think about things that I have learned about myself, about our church, about our community, so that I will be a more effective pastor when I return. And I'm looking forward to having time to dream about the future, about what God might want to do in me and in our church and in our community. Now, I don't know what all of that is right now, but I pray that after having the chance to rest and reflect and recharge, that God will give me a renewed passion for ministry and for serving our community. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. The disciples didn't know exactly when or how that was going to happen, but they waited. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and filled them, and they were launched out into the world to proclaim the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I believe that God is going to bless this time that we are apart over the summer so that he will launch us in a new way this fall. That as we come back together, we will be returning to in-person worship services. Aren't you looking forward to that? We'll be waiting for it this summer, and we'll be able to come back into that in the fall. And as we also come back together to find new ways to serve our community in the aftermath of this COVID pandemic. And as we find ways to love and serve our neighbors in the midst of the tensions and the turmoil that we've witnessed over the last couple weeks as well. And so as God uses things that you learn this summer and things that I will learn this summer, and as we learn from each other, as we come back together in the fall, I pray that God is going to use all of this to empower us to continue to serve in his mission in Brooklyn. And maybe this summer, God is inviting you to experience more of his Sabbath rest in your life, in order to empower you to also return to his work with new energy and new life as well. What might that look like for you? How could you create space this summer in your weekly rhythm to embrace the weekly rhythm of Sabbath, of stopping and resting? What would that look like in your daily rhythm to stop and to pause throughout the day in moments, as we talked about last year, the idea of a daily office of stopping, being with God? What would that look like as you think about your summer to create times and spaces throughout the summer to just let things lie fallow for a while and to wait on God's work and to rest in the fact that your value and your identity doesn't come from what you produce or what you achieve, but it comes only from what Christ has done for you and what he says about you. Brothers and sisters, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And so let us rest in that identity and then go into the world empowered by the Holy Spirit to work with joy as children of God, wherever he calls us to go. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who invites us to rest in you, to rest in what you say about us, what you have done for us, so that we can be empowered to work on your behalf, to be a part of your mission in this world, to reach people with the gospel. And so I pray, Lord, that as I am away this summer on my sabbatical, as our church has time away from me, Lord, that you would work in each of our lives to renew us, to recharge us, to speak to us and work in us, so that when we return back together again in the fall, you will have done an amazing work and will be empowering us in mission together again into what you have in store for us in the new year. Thank you, God, for your love and your grace and your rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.